Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
On a draft day Thursday, a bed tiki Thursday, the most important drafts of our lifetimes, not named Tiki Barber, the day he was drafted.
I wonder what bad Tiki's going to talk about today.
What do you think? You got any guesses?
I mean, it's got to be the draft, right?
I figured my wife, but maybe the last will go away from that.
He always talks about your wife.
Maybe it'll be changed up. I don't know. But we will hear from bad Tiki a little bit later on. We'll take your phone calls as we get set for the NFL draft. By the way, I forgot to tell you this yesterday. I received a text message
from
somebody in the sports media world apologizing to me.
Oh, really?
And I was very confused by the apology. You may know him as friend of Juan Soto, friend of Scott Boras, excellent baseball writer, John Heyman. John Heyman texted me.
What did you do? What did he do to agree with you?
So he texted me, "I am so sorry." And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And apparently, I'm going to squash this beef right now with John Heyman. John Heyman tweeted a congratulations to the official scorer who's been scoring Met home games for a very long time, a nice gentleman by the name of Howie Carpen, who's a fine guy. So John congratulated him. Hey, Howie, congrats on your 10,000th game, whatever it was. Apparently, people took the congratulations as a shot at me, since I claimed on the radio that all official scorers should be fired and replaced by, like, just MLB people.
A league-wide official person to score.
Yeah, so John wanted to make it clear that his congratulations tweet was not a shot at my idea.
I can't even picture how that could be a shot at you.
I was confused, too.
I don't get it.
I was so confused.
So what did you say back?
I said, you got it, no problem, bro. I said, no, you want to fight? I said, I'm going to kick your butt. And no, I said, I'm not offended. So
right.
I just want anyone to know that me and John Heyman are on wonderful, wonderful terms. We love each other.
I don't even think we knew it was an issue.
Yeah, I think I knew it was an issue.
Clearly.
First of all, here's the issue John has. And this is my advice to a lot of people. You'd agree with me. Mm-hmm. Don't check the mentions on Twitter.
Especially if you check anything on Twitter.
Especially if you're John Heyman.
Search for information, be entertained if you need to be, but get off before it gets you mad.
Yeah.
That's Twitter for me.
Most of the people that tweet at John Heyman, what do you think they're saying to him? You think they're saying, wow, John, you're a great reporter, which he is at times.
Yes.
What do you think they're saying?
Arson Judge, you're an idiot. You deserve to be fired. Scott Boras is lackey. Arson Judge.
Isn't that even has you to think.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, yeah, me and John Heyman are good. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now, a very special guest.
This is outstanding.
I don't know how to describe this, but Larry O'Brien, the trophy, is here. Come on down. The crowd loves you, Larry. This is unbelievable. Tiki, you're better at describing things than I am. Can you describe how Sean looks right now as
Sean,
he attempts to dress as the Larry O'Brien?
The Larry O'Brien. More ash. Has a gold head, as we predicted. I'm sorry for the headphones. They're going to get destroyed. He has a gold bodysuit. Form-fit bodysuit. Even his feet are covered by the bodysuit.
They are. Mr. Larry O'Brien's feet are covered.
And they are in a gold cape. A fantastic gold cape.
Thank you
look outstanding.
Thank you. And thank you to Miss Tracy, your wife, who has done a great job on my makeup. I am Larry O'Brien, and I will not be making an appearance at Madison Square Garden anytime soon. But pictures during a break, please, yes.
I got to tell you.
And it's a long flight between here and Oklahoma City.
I got to tell you, I got to hand it to you. This is incredible work by your wife. And by you, Sean, I give you credit, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I mean, head to toe in this very...
He's not Sean. He's Larry O'Brien right now.
I am Mr. Larry O'Brien.
Okay.
And I, too, am a fan of Jackson Dart.
Mr. O'Brien, I can't believe this. You're wearing, like, spandex from top to bottom.
You know, speaking of wives, I asked my wife, hey, Tiki's got a robe coming for me. Can you maybe just order me some gold-type pants? Didn't know that she packed a gold-type bodysuit. So I think I was played for a prank.
I could see your religion over there. This is something else.
And anybody got a roll of paper towel? Yeah, it's cold in here. Don't worry.
And I'll tell you, she didn't miss a spot painting your head.
No, she was very much in depth. And a crowd started to form. I thought TMZ was out there.
People wanted to get the first look.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable as Larry O'Brien, or is this an uncomfortable feel for you right now?
I'm actually fairly comfortable, you know, because everything's tight. Everything's on me. I feel good. And you know what? It takes some of the anxiety away from draft night. So I'm here. Let's go. I'm owning this. The Rangers stink. And that's it. I'm Larry O'Brien the rest of the show.
You are truly an entertainer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent work.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
And I have to admit, and I know you're going to take this as a shot, Tommy, your attempt to dress as the Stanley Cup trophy last year really pales in comparison to what Sean pulled off today.
Well, in all fairness, I didn't have Tracy Barber. By the way, going in the bathroom with Tracy feels not like a punishment. I had basically myself to... the outfit last year.
I'll give Tracy this. We got within 15 feet of the bathroom. She goes, I'm going to wait in this alleyway. You get dressed. That's smart.
I mean, you look like either gold member or you're going to like Studio 54. Yeah. Now, but you look great.
Thank you.
You look great. You see everything too much, but you look good.
You know who he really looks like? He looks like Goldust.
Yeah.
All we need to do is give him a blonde wig and you're ready to go. That's Cody Rhodes' older brother, by the way.
I'm aware.
It's hard to do the Larry O'Brien trophy, though, because it's just a cylinder with a ball.
But I am a cylinder with a ball.
Right. So, I mean, you need your imagination. You got to blur your eyesight a little bit, but you look like the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Okay.
Well done, Sean.
I give you credit. You paid your debt to society. Now continue to do it for the next 2.5 hours, okay?
I'll be here.
All right.
I'm going to smell, by the way, because I'm already sweating from laser tag over there. So here we go. And I'm skin tight. No room to breathe.
Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Steve in Muttville. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good, Steve.
Very good.
Okay, I think that Travis Hunter might drop a few spots because I don't think an NFL coach wants to have to make that extra decision. When do I play him here? Do I play him there? It just keeps them from getting second guess, which is the same reason when they brought in the two-point conversion, they didn't get rid of overtime. And very few coaches actually go for it at the end of the game. So that's my opinion.
Well, I think analytics is changing. I think analytics is slowly changing the two-point conversion conversation. It's already completely changed.
Oh, God.
Fourth down decisions.
Dude, I think the two-point conversion has changed from a decade ago.
100%. Because it gives you an advantage that you used to not believe existed. And now, statistically, you're not going to get stopped twice. I forget what the numbers, exact numbers are, but getting stopped once is – getting stopped twice is so much – less of a likelihood than getting stopped once, that you go for it because it just gives you an advantage if you do make it. Now, the challenge is it's hard to make it. It's hard to dial up that play, but the analytics of the game have changed.
The question I have around Hunter and if he's worth it, and we should do the same thing with Abdul Carter, is that when you are pick two and you are pick three,
yes,
you can't be good. You need to be great.
You're supposed to be great.
You have to be great.
And I think it's different than picking quarterbacks. So at quarterback, and we've said this so many times, if you listen to our show, where you get drafted matters almost more than anything.
Right.
And if you're in a bad situation, a la Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold, whoever, with the Jets, who didn't quite have the infrastructure right, you're simply going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no way around it. With a defensive end or a wide receiver or a cornerback, you can excel despite the circumstances around you. The challenge is you're not going to affect wins and losses.
Right.
Like Myles Garrett has been phenomenal his entire career. From day one till now, where he's the highest paid defensive player in football, he's been great.
Right.
How many times have they been deep in the postseason?
No, and that's part of the problem. So now let's look at Travis Hunter, because he brings up a point that he's going to drop. You've even suggested it. Maybe the Browns don't take him at three. And if he goes to the Giants at
two. I can't see him dropping.
If he goes to the Giants at three, that's not really dropping.
No.
It's one slot.
Right.
But how good does Hunter need to be for that pick to be worth it? You know, we said this about Saquon Barkley. He was picked so high, but was he ever really worth it?
But running backs are kind of like quarterbacks. And they're dependent upon the circumstances around them. Like, if you have a terrible offensive line and you're a great running back, good luck.
Right? But if you're Travis Hunter and we don't know how he's going to be used, is it going to be he's mostly a corner and sometimes there are packages for him as wide receiver? Or is it the opposite where he's mostly a wide receiver and now all of a sudden you see him in the nickel or whatever it is? How good does one have to be at both or at one for us to say 5 years from now, that was a great pick? And that's where I'm conflicted about Travis Hunter.
Or where do you think a guy like Travis Hunter can be immediately impactful? To me, it's wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because it's the position where you see a lot of kids come out of college, and they're great right away.
And we saw it with Malik Nabers a year ago.
Malik Nabers, we saw it. We saw it with Justin Jefferson. We saw it with really all these guys, even kids that weren't drafted in the first round that come into the league. It's easier to be hugely impactful as a wide receiver. That's why I think him as a wide receiver, and he's a great one, maybe the first or second one in this draft. He can come play someplace, say it's the New York Giants, and impact the game immediately, just like Malik Nabers did last year.
Let's go to Anthony out in Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's shaking today, Anthony?
What's up, Evan? What's up, Kiki? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, guys, real quick. Well, first off, I just have a real, real difficult time with these two guys, Dable and Shane, making this pick tonight. I'm just petrified of what they're going to do and who they're going to pick, because they're going to pick a quarterback. I just feel like they're going to get the wrong one. And you know, I look at a guy like Mahomes, who was picked 10th, and all these guys, I feel like they're going to have to take a gamble on someone and ride with it. I thought forever since the season ended that Sanders was going to be the quarterback. What the heck happened the last 2 months? Like, I can't, Kiki, is it because when you sit down with a guy, you can really think that you don't want a guy? When I see this guy play, he's by far looks like the second best quarterback. And what changed?
So I think there's a couple of things that changed, Anthony. I think one, when you get in front of a guy, especially a quarterback, they start like messing with you. They start asking you, "All right, we're going to put in this play. You're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And oh, and by the way, what happened on, Easter Sunday and blah, 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 and blah, blah. Oh, so tell me that play again."
Right.
And so they mess with your mind to see how great your recall is. And then the other thing is most GMs and player personnel and owners look at the quarterback as the CEO of the organization. So he's the one that's going to be in front of everybody all the time. When something good happens, when something bad happens, the quarterback is going to be in front of the media. And owners and general managers can't help but look at the presentation that they get from these kids and say, do I want this guy standing in front of the media when we have a 5-game losing streak? And what's he going to say? Do I want this guy standing in front of my team when things are going awry? What's he going to say? And if you present poorly,
right,
even if it has no indication of how good of a leader or a teammate you are, think how uncomfortable this is. When you're 19 or 20 years old, could you have gone and sat in the room with the CEO and been perfect?
Right.
Answer is probably no. We're all knuckleheads when we're 20 years old. And especially if you haven't been taught how to do that. And so a lot of these kids, they don't interview well, right? Because it's an uncomfortable room. You're in a room with a bunch of white dudes you don't know.
No, I get you.
And so it's just different.
So assuming his question is proven correct, what happened to Shedeur Sanders, you gave a very good answer. I'd like to do an impromptu game of Posted and Toasted. I'm going to read you an old tweet from 1 year ago today. And don't worry, it's none of you guys. All no right, one had excellent. The wrong opinion.
Good.
It's actually a Posted and Toasted of J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy on April 24th, 2024. Where do you think you will end up? His answer, the New York Giants.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, what happened? Was that a smokescreen?
That was a smokescreen.
So if that last year was a smokescreen,
by the way,
why can't all of this be a smokescreen?
Because I didn't. If you would have listened to me, you would have known it was a smokescreen.
You said it. No, I did listen to you. You said it. I agree.
I didn't think there was serious interest in J.J. McCarthy. And but you kept hearing it.
Right.
And then he started saying it. And then once the kids start saying it, you know it's nonsense. And so it's one of the reasons that I hear Abdul Carter saying, yeah, I think I'm going to the Giants. I almost think it's nonsense.
Well, yeah, based on last year. Like,
right.
All we can do, because we have GMs and scouts, everybody's lying to us. Like we said at the top of the show, this is lying season, and tonight we get the answers. We have to look at history. Last year, and you were right, because I do remember you saying, they're not taking J.J. McCarthy. And you were right. But J.J. McCarthy was under the impression going into the draft he was being selected by the New York Giants,
and he wasn't. But that's because the GMs lied to the kids, too.
Right.
Hey, guess what, kid? Hey, J.J., if you're there, we're going to take you. Or it probably was phrased like, hey, J.J., if you're there, we want to take you.
So were they lying to Abdul Carter?
Like, we want to take you is different than we're going to take you.
Right.
And so, but the kid hears, oh, the Giants are taking me.
Or maybe they don't even say anything, and it's kind of like when I used to go on dates, and I'm like, ah, she definitely likes me. And then I realized soon after, she didn't like me.
Right.
She never even texted me back. So it could be kind of a similar vote, too, where Abdul Carter goes out of that room saying, boy, they love me.
Yes.
They want me. They never actually said they were going to draft him, and he is now thinking this is going to happen. But this is why I believe in the lies. I believe they are lying, because evidence of last year and the years before this show you that as we get to the NFL draft, every rumor is a leak for a purpose.
Right.
Now, I go back to the J.J. McCarthy thing. Why did the Giants put that? Why did J.J. McCarthy leave feeling that way? Was it something the Giants did? Were they playing chess? Did they do it on purpose? Were they thinking about a trade-up scenario? I don't know the answer a year later, other than maybe J.J. McCarthy just got it wrong. But it's an indicator that a lot of what we've heard over the last few days and weeks is BS.
Right, we're going to be wrong. The only one that's going to be right, I think, is the number one overall pick.
Yeah, that one seems pretty set in
stone. Cam Ward to the Tennessee Titans seems set.
And you know what, T? If you just listen to Sean about tanking, well, it could have been the New York Giants selecting Cam Ward today.
Thank you, Drew Locke.
Do you want to apologize to Sean and all the tankers out there, T?
No, never.
Never.
You always got to win.
Even today.
You got to try to win. I don't care what it costs you. You got to try to win because the draft is a crapshoot. You don't know, ever.
And rookies are dumb.
No, the rookies suck.
Rookies suck, I'm sorry.
Which not is dumb. Great about doing
some
a
of them
show.
Are quite intelligent.
Okay. Let's go to Ed in Rockland. How are you, Ed?
What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy draft day.
Happy draft day.
Yes. I wanted to tell you guys that you all remind me of Rain Man. And I mean it by you talk about crazy stuff and then you're savants with little things. And my point is that the dart thing, you know, with the Giants wanting dart, his son posting that, you know, with dart and all this other stuff.
Right.
You guys see in between this stuff. And I think it's all a smokescreen, like you guys have both have been saying. And I think they're trying to get, like, Cleveland to trade into the first round to take Dart. And they're going to go the route of maybe Jalen Milroe. Just because that connection with Alabama and Debo having connections. Yeah. He throws...
Well, I mean, the challenge is that Dave was at Alabama a long time ago. He was at Alabama back in 2012, 14, whatever it was. So, and he was only there for a season, even though he was an offensive coordinator and they did win a national championship. But I don't think that ties him to Jackson Dart. In fact, Nick Saban's not even the coach anymore. I mean, not Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe. Saban's not the coach anymore. So I don't know what the tie is to Jalen Milroe unless they just like him as a player. Now, they had him in individually last week, so they obviously have done their work on all these quarterbacks, but I don't think you can say because Dave's was at Alabama, he has a tie-in to Jalen Milroe.
No, I don't think there's a tie-in. I do think that the smokescreen thing is real, though, that this dart connection to the Giants feels way too obvious over the last 2 days. Too much is out there that makes you think it's not true. Now, let me ask you. Forget about taking a quarterback at 3, assuming they don't do that, assuming it's Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Yep.
And they end up getting a quarterback at the top of the second round. Do you have a preference between Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Tyler Shulk, Shador Sanders?
I think Jackson Dart feels like he has the highest upside.
Really?
Even maybe more so than Shador Sanders.
You know who you owe an apology to?
Who?
Tommy Lugauer.
Why, Tommy?
He was the first one on this show to be in on Jackson Dart.
It's true.
Remember saying that, Tommy?
I sure do.
What'd you say?
I said I wouldn't be shocked
if Eli Manning picked up the phone, called John Mara, hey, John, Eli here. We have a pretty good quarterback down here at Ole Miss. The connection here, take a look at him. Sure will. And
now,
here we are. GM's son is putting it on Instagram.
I don't know if you even mean to do this, but I'm going to tell you the first Jackson Dart controversy if he is picked by the New York Giants. I don't think he will be, but let's just say he is. Exactly what you just said. It will be construed, whether it's fair or not, that Eli Manning somehow pulled the strings.
But why is that a bad thing?
It's not necessary. Here's why it's a bad thing. Let me answer that because you're right. Is it a bad thing? It's a bad thing because you would want your GM and head coach making the decision and not a guy who hasn't quarterbacked the team in a bunch of years.
Yes, Larry O'Brien.
From a Giants fan perspective, and yes, the Larry O'Brien trophy is a Giants fan, it would be a bad thing because Daniel Jones was viewed from the David Cutcliffe connection,
yes,
all of that, as you're trying to do the Eli Manning thing
again. He even looked like Eli Manning.
And while the fan base loves Eli Manning, I think the fan base is looking to cleanse itself from the only way to find a quarterback is finding some kind of tie back to Eli Manning. And that sounds like if you do that with Jackson Dart, it just sounds like one big
He
old
is
match.
So different than Eli Manning, though.
Oh, man. He's a dog, Jack Dart.
But it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, like,
I know. I'm just talking personality-wise.
No,
personality.
You're right.
He's a dog until the game's on the line in the fourth quarter and he throws you out of it. Like,
wow.
So you're not a Jackson Dart guy?
Did you bet on Ole Miss or something?
So you saw me just place money on Jackson Dart being the third overall pick. It'll be like the 15th time in the last 12 months I lost money on Jackson Dart. Okay?
So that's the issue?
Yes.
Yeah, but none of that.
It's a bad precedent if he becomes the New York Giants.
No, every time you need him to come through in the fourth quarter, it was bad throw after.
Wait a second. So yesterday on the show, and I've already forgotten some of this. I apologize. My brain is fried. I was so pumped up on the Met victory. We played a game where I would say the Giants have selected blah, blah, blah,
uh-huh,
and each of you guys gave an instant reaction. What was your instant reaction to Jackson Dart? You don't like him?
It's not that. Yes, I don't like him. I don't
That's
like Jackson
fine,
Dart.
He was anti-Jackson Dart.
But here's what I like. I like that I want Brian Daboll being able to mold and taking a shot at his quarterback. So if, and some of the reports are that this is Dable's guy, if Daboll really likes Jackson Dart, well, it doesn't matter what I like. He's the guy who's got to mold him. I'm just sitting on my ass eating nachos, cursing him out. So to me, if I'm going to have my cake and eat it too, I may not agree with the pick, but I've been wrong on about a million quarterbacks. So I'll credit the Giants for giving the quarterback coach his chance to mold a quarterback.
You have been wrong about quarterbacks. I'll never forget. I don't know if we have the audio present, but I'll never forget you crying into a camera saying, I think we found our quarterback. And he was referring to Tommy DeVito.
Correct.
I mean, that was emotional stuff right there.
We might have a quarterback.
That was it.
Shows the desperation of the fan base to get the position right.
Oh, trust me. I think I know a thing or two about being desperate to find a quarterback. Geez. That's for sure. Now, Giant fans who are in the audience, I'm very excited because coming up today, and if you want to challenge Sean Morash, also known as Larry O'Brien, we have a brand new segment called, I just named it. Tell me if you like it. I think there's a draft in here.
Not in here, I can assure you.
Given what he's wearing, that's very appropriate.
You like that? And basically, it is a trivia competition against Sean Morash, who claims he knows more about the New York Football Giants than anybody else. We'll reveal the stakes of that competition and how it will work coming up. And if you wish to challenge Sean.
You claim that, by the way.
I claim what, exactly?
That I know more Giants than everybody
else. Oh, you're getting humble now?
I'm getting nervous. I'm strapped in here. Look what I'm dressed as.
You're a Giant historian.
He is.
You're not going up against one of the Maras. No offense to anybody out here. You should wipe the floor with them. It should be an easy. It should be like what Evan said about the Pistons.
Don't do my bit back to me.
I mean, you shouldn't be nervous.
So, okay. Giant fans, if you'd like to challenge Sean in a brand new segment called There's a Draft in Here, we will pick someone to do that, maybe a few people to do that, because if he keeps eliminating people, we have to make it more difficult. And we'll get back to your phone calls as we continue to get you ready for the 2025 NFL Draft. We're doing it all live from American Dream, which is an unbelievable facility. We're here at the Dream Bar, so come hang out if you're free today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On this draft Thursday, as the New York Giants and the New York Jets get set to make picks that will determine how we feel on a Friday and may change their lives and may change our lives. It may, or we may complain about it for the next 5 years. You never know. We'll continue to get you ready for this draft. We'll also preview the Knick game a little bit later on as they play game three against the Detroit Pistons. And also, Bad Tiki will join the show in about an hour.
By the way, Evan.
Yes.
The other day we were talking about the jersey I would want.
Yes, and I'm getting it for your birthday next year.
It's too late.
What?
You know Kendrick from Suffern, who calls us all the time?
Yes, I do.
He's become a good friend of the show.
Yes.
This is what Kendrick from Suffern just gave me.
Is that a Walter Payton jersey?
He just gave me a Walter Payton jersey.
You son of a...
Kendrick, thank you so, so much.
Wow.
Evan and Sean asked me if there was one jersey I would want, it would be Walter Payton. So this is his old
that
jersey.
That is badass.
That he just gave to me. This is amazing. Because it's back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like it would be made new like you would have to get
it. No, absolutely.
So thank you, Kendrick.
Good job, wow. Kendrick.
And Evan still owes Kendrick a nickname from like 3 years ago, and now he's handing you gifts.
I confused Kendrick with someone else and claimed I went to a game with him. I got the whole thing confused. Now, as we get set for this draft, I thought this would be a perfect time to play a little game with the Giant expert, Sean Morash, on his day, dressed as Larry O'Brien, as he scarfs down that awesome milkshake.
Goodness, from the game room. Look at this.
Yeah, I got one, too, from the game room. This thing is unbelievable. If you come to American Dream and you go to the game room powered by Hasbro, they've got these milkshakes. I've got a red velvet one.
Oh.
You've got, what do you got?
It's a chocolate cake with brownie. I don't know, man. I got to tell you right now, this milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
No doubt. Yeah, that is one of many things you could do here at Beautiful American Dream. Really is. But I figured on this day, with you dressed as the Larry O'Brien trophy, with you being the Giant draft expert, that we would have a little competition. A little competition we like to call, is there a draft in here?
Oh!
So, I want to show you how this game is going to work.
Sure.
Okay? It's a little back and forth affair until someone can't answer the bell. When they can't answer the bell, they lose. So Tommy and I will give you a display of this. We are geeks for what? What does Tommy and I know more about than anyone else, Tiki?
The Mets.
Not the Mets. Try again.
Less geekier.
More wrestling. Geekier, professional wrestling.
WWF. Now E.
Right. So I'll give you an example. The topic of our little competition is main events of WrestleMania Night 2. Ooh. We're not going to screw around with Night 1. So I would go first and say John Cena defeats Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania 41.
Can we start with WrestleMania 1?
Oh, you want to go from that
order? Yeah, it's just easier to follow the order of how they...
All right. WrestleMania 1. We want to start it off?
WrestleMania 1, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T defeated Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
WrestleMania 2, Hulk Hogan defeated King Kong Bundy.
WrestleMania 3, Hulk Hogan defeated Andre the Giant.
WrestleMania 4, in the finals of a tournament for the vacant WWF Championship, Macho Man defeated the Million Dollar Man.
WrestleMania 5, the Mega Powers exploded and Hogan beat Savage.
By the way, before we continue, do you want us to finish this game, Tiki? Or
no.
Should we just, we showed you.
Do you get the idea how much losers
I get it. Completely, yeah. And I'm completely ignoring you.
Okay.
He's enjoying his milkshake. Mm-hmm.
He's going right for that milkshake. So we are going to do that right now with New York Giant first round picks.
Okay.
So, Tommy, who is our Giant contender who is going? And by the way, you're playing for a hell of a prize. So there's this new store that opened up. It's actually popping up all over the place. And we have one here at American Dream called Card Vault. And it was actually created by the great Tom Brady. I may not love Tom Brady as a football player, but the man is a businessman, and he has the fastest-growing card store chain in the country, and there is a new location right here at American Dream. So we're going to give you, if you can beat Sean, a little package from Card Vault. What is your name, sir?
Chris.
Chris, how are you?
Not bad. How about you?
You're a big Giant fan?
Big Giants fan.
Did you like Tiki Barber?
I was a fan.
Okay, very good.
He's got a sexy Dexie jersey on right now.
He does. Do you believe you will defeat Sean Morash in a brand-new segment we like to call Is There a Draft in Here?
I'm going to give it my shot. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We'll let Sean go first. It begins as a back and forth. As soon as you get it wrong or you can't answer, you lose. Sean Morash, first-round pick 2024.
2024?
Yeah, like last year.
Last year.
I forgot what year it was. Malik Nabers.
Okay. First-round pick 2023. Oh, my goodness.
I'm out.
Can I steal?
Yes, you can.
Tay Banks.
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
We ain't got eliminated after one question.
Not good for Joe Shane if you couldn't even remember that.
I feel
just like that.
I feel so bad for you. We're going to give you a care package anyway.
There you go.
Because that was embarrassing. But you went up here and you put it on the line.
The lesson for today is it's hard to perform on stage.
It really is. There's a lot of pressure.
That was
everybody's looking at you. That's it, man.
How far do you think you could even go?
I don't know. I feel like I was getting in a rhythm.
Well, I'm sorry. You knocked the guy out after one pick.
2022, Evan Neal and Kayvon
Thibodeau. Well, hold on a second. Do you want to play for a prize from Card Vault? I'll do it for you.
Sure.
Well, we can whip out a second one if that's what you really want.
Hold on. We have to figure out how deep he has to go before he wins.
I think he has to go... I think he's got to definitely go into the 90s. He's got to get through this millennium.
Wow. All
right.
Can you do that?
Poor guy knocked out after one pick. I felt bad for him.
I get it,
though. I can see it in his eyes. He was nervous.
He knew. He just couldn't remember.
I know. He's like, damn it. All right. 2022, Sean Morash.
2022 is Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal.
2021.
This is where I'm dicey.
Oh, come on.
2021.
Because I know 2020, I know 19. Why am I forgetting 2021?
This was Gettleman's last year.
I know. Okay. Kadarius Toney.
Very good. 2020.
Andrew Thomas.
2019.
Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence, and DeAndre Baker.
Very good. 2018.
Saquon Barkley.
2017.
Evan Neal. Evan Ingram.
I will. We will let that slide. He correctly went to Ingram. 2016.
Ooh. They made the playoffs. Ben McAdoo's first draft. 2016.
I don't even remember this one.
He definitely didn't get a second contract. Damn. Am I stumped?
I mean, you're
out. Oh, no, I know. Eli Apple.
Eli Apple, correct.
Okay, solid.
All right. We have a guy in the audience who wants to steal the next time you get it wrong. That's fair. 2015.
Eric Flowers.
Very good. 2014.
Odell Beckham Jr.
All right. 2013.
Justin Pugh.
Very good. 2012.
2012, they had the last pick of the first round. Was that David Wilson?
Correct. 2011.
2011 was Prince Amukamara.
Very good. 2010.
2010.
He's breathing heavily, ladies and gentlemen, with the gold paint falling off of his head.
2010.
Look, better go.
No. They would have been on the Super Bowl team. I'm assuming they would have been a little bit of a player.
2010, I'll give you a WFA and hint. Paul Dottino on the Beningo and Roberts program did not want the Giants to draft this guy. Thought it would be a mistake. He was wrong.
He ended up being good. I'm stumped, man. I'm stumped.
You want to go for the steal? Come over here, number 80. Come over here. I'll give you my microphone. Who is it?
JPP.
KPP is correct.
Oh. Damn.
And you're damn right.
And the following year was Knicks, the year before. Hakeem Knicks.
Well, you just move on. You got that one wrong.
He got saved.
I was in a flow. It was Hakeem Knicks.
You want to see how far you could go?
Hakeem Knicks.
Look at that guy over there. Good job. Name? Chris. You're the man, Chris.
Okay.
All right, 2008.
Hakeem Knicks, we said, right?
2009 was Hakeem Knicks.
2008 would have been Kenny Phillips.
2008 is correct. 2007.
Ross.
Aaron Ross, correct. 2006.
That was my last year.
Good player. Destiki, do you remember?
Because they didn't have the first in 2005.
Yeah, 2005 will be a skip. But what about 2006?
Good player.
Tiki, you don't remember?
I don't remember.
Is that because he was going to be a rookie and rookies are stupid?
I hate rookies. Rookies suck.
This guy turned out to be pretty good, I thought.
I got it. Matthias Kiwanuka.
Very good.
Kiwi.
My boy Chris is ready to steal again.
Calm down, Chris. All right, I got the milkshake melting here. I'm dressed in a gold tight suit. Give me a second.
You know what? We screwed up. Chris should have been competing. He would have whipped that tuckus. 2004.
Eli Manning. Yeah. Actually, Phillip Rivers.
It is, but I'm not going to play that game. I'll give it to you out of the way. 2003. See, now I think any more you go, I give you a bonus because now you're two decades in. 2003.
This was fossils last year.
Okay, I think I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to take a guess.
Well, first of all, do you know the answer, Tiki?
I do not know.
He hates rookies.
Dude,
he doesn't remember anyone who was drafted.
You know I got hit in the head for a decade.
I know, I'm sorry. Sorry. 2003. You got it, Chris? Do you want Chris to save you again?
So this was after the playoff year.
You know, do we need a breakdown?
I'm just going to say William Joseph.
You got it right. William Joseph.
Oh.
2002.
Jeremy Shockey.
Jeremy Shockey, 2001. This is fun. I'm getting excited.
2001.
This is after we went to the Super Bowl.
After you went to the Super Bowl.
You know what?
So 2000 was Ron Dayne. So 2001.
I didn't ask you to jump out of order. 2001. It jumped out of order.
Do you know Chris?
Chris, like, do you know 2001?
He's thinking about it.
He does not seem confident. That's okay.
This is almost a quarter decade, a century ago.
Yeah, you guys have gone 25 years.
This guy would have played with Tiki a lot.
Joe Jarvis.
No. Do you know?
I do not know.
You don't know? It would have been your teammate.
I honestly don't know.
Tiki doesn't know any
of
the guys.
I was worried about getting the free agent contract that offseason. I didn't care about who they were drafting.
You have a guess, Chris, or are you going to tap out as well? He's tapping out.
Everybody's tapping out.
This kid over here.
You know 2001?
Scream the name. Will Allen is correct.
And they took Will Peterson later in that draft. Two Wills, there's a way.
That's right.
Great pull.
And then 2000 was Ron Dayne. You remember that?
Yeah.
You want to keep going or are you done?
I'm done. I do know 97 was I Kill You.
Who was 98?
I don't know.
Sean Williams.
That's right.
You did a fairly good job.
Okay. So we're just missing 99 now.
Might as well tell us. Pay it off.
1999 was Luke Pettigrew.
Yes.
I was close.
I was close.
Back to the shake.
Yeah, there you go. Go and dig in on that shake. Anyhow, let's go to Anthony calling from Harlem, New York. How are you, Anthony?
What's up, Anthony?
Hey, fellas. Happy draft day.
Happy draft day, man. What's up?
I'm actually making my way into title. Right now, going to draft my son's wife.
All right. Couldn't hear you, but whatever you're doing, have fun.
He said he's in Green Bay. He's making his way out to Lambeau.
Holy crap, you're in Green Bay.
That's awesome, man.
We lost him. All right, we'll have a good time out there in Green Bay. You've been to Green Bay.
I've been to Green Bay one time. Oh, actually twice. To call a game, once to play in a game.
Wow.
He only played one game in Lambeau.
Only one game in Lambeau.
Well, think about the way the schedule works, too. Yeah. I mean, it's a rarity. That is the one football stadium that is on my list that I'd love to go see. Lambeau Field. I saw Soldier Field before they changed it. Obviously, a lot of the new modern stadiums, Gillette, Lucas Oil, but there's something about Lambeau. But my rule is when I go to see Lambeau, because I will do it before I'm dead.
Do it when it's cold?
It's got to be cold.
Yeah. By the way, you can go in September or October, and it'll be nice, and then by the end of the game, it's cold.
Well, that's true. I guess you get some of the cold.
It just gets cold.
I know, but I need it to be frozen tundra.
No.
If it's not frozen tundra, were you really in Green Bay?
No.
Exactly, that's my point.
But I did rush for 180 yards.
When did you play there?
I don't remember 2008.
How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
Not a lot. Not
the
a
year
lot.
Doesn't matter, but he's got that yardage down. That's for damn sure.
That's what matters. Let's go to Jody in Warren, New Jersey. How are you, Jody?
What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. Guys, big fan. You know, I love you. Hey, one thing, as a Jet fan, tell me if I'm wrong, Tiki. We want an offensive line. I mean, there's no other choice. It makes everybody's mediocre great. The running back, the quarterback, the mediocre, great offensive line, right. They're great. And, Evan, am I wrong in saying Zach Wilson, as much as, like, that was torture for me to watch him, he was the unanimous guy, right? Everybody, like, I know I like to get on the Jets for picking him, but wasn't he the guy who, like, everybody was going to pick if they had that that number?
You know, that year? Yes and no. Because by the time we got to the draft, it was almost like you were stupid to not want the Jets to draft Zach Wilson.
Right.
But I remember as a fan being like, why are we enamored by him? Now, I wasn't enamored as much as Justin Fields or anyone after Trevor Lawrence, but it was almost like we were pressured into just having to go with, yeah, Zach Wilson's the obvious guy. But when you think about it then, and certainly you look back at it now, it's fair to ask, why? Why was he the unanimous guy? Justin Fields was damn impressive in college. Why were we not screaming and banging on tables?
Well, there was the stigma about Ohio State running backs. That was part of it with Justin Fields. And I think the other thing was Zach Wilson was prototypical as far as moxie, attitude, arm talent. We all remember I don't think it was a combine. I think it was his private workout where he made that ridiculous throw across his body. It was 60 yards downfield on the other sideline.
Very overrated.
It, of course it is, because you're running around in your underwear. It doesn't mean anything. So, but everybody got enamored with him. I don't think drafting Zach Wilson itself was the problem. I think the infrastructure that they had around Zach Wilson was the problem. Now, part of it wasn't their fault, because Greg Knapp, who was a longtime quarterback coach and was going to be his mentor, he died in a biking accident.
Very tragic,
in California.
Yep.
And then as a result, they only had Mike LaFleur, as the rookie offensive coordinator, now also developer of Zach Wilson, trying to do something that he had never done before.
And rookies are dumb.
32 years old or whatever it may have been. So it was just a bad situation. I think they made it worse because they didn't bring in a veteran. So we remember Zach Wilson's first year. He was anointed the starting quarterback.
Which was a big mistake.
As soon as he got to camp.
So I agree with you that the Jets were not in position to have him succeed.
Yes.
And I think I'll be proven right based on the rest of Zach's career. I think Zach Wilson also stinks. So I think that the combination of those two things made it an absolute disaster. But I don't buy. If he was put in a great situation, it would have worked. I think he stinks. Mm.
What?
I really do. So, and I'll be proven right if he doesn't work in Miami or if he doesn't work anywhere else.
Do you remember Ben Roethlisberger's first couple of years?
He was terrible.
Terrible. So if he was...
Even though they never lost.
If he's on the Jets
and
they're terrible and he's terrible and they lose, and by year three, it's like, get him the hell out of here. Does Big Ben become almost a Hall of Famer?
I don't know if he becomes an almost Hall of Famer, but here's what I would assume would happen to Big Ben to answer your question. I think he would have flamed out with the Jets. They would have gotten rid of him. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Ozzie and Woodridge wanted to troll you, and he's trolling you. He has a Dallas Cowboys Joe Milton jersey.
And that's well played.
And
that's
Tiki loves man. Joe Milton,
and now he's
a Cowboy.
I hate you, Ozzie.
That's funny.
You had to have just done that, too, because that didn't happen until a month ago.
That's so funny, though. Yeah, Tiki
was drinking a beer right in my face. No, we can't have one for another 2 hours.
So what's bothering you more, the Milton Cowboy thing or the beer?
I can't even look at Ozzy right now.
No, I don't know. Listen, I'm missing anyway. That's a good troll, though, I have to admit. Because Tiki loves himself some Joe Milton, and unfortunately Joe Milton's in Dallas. Oh, let me answer your Ben question. What I assume with a talent who is put in a bad position is you fail, you probably go somewhere else, you back up, you get a better opportunity, and you become good. Maybe not great, maybe not Hall of Fame.
Right.
I think Zach Wilson was not only put in a bad situation, I think he stinks. So whether it was Denver or now Miami or somewhere else, I don't think he's ever going to be good. Like, I always loved Sam.
Right.
You know, when I think of draft nights, and I joked earlier about my system of watching the NFL draft is I'm shirtless in bed with my wife. That's how I was for Sam Darnold. She secretly video recorded me as I was excited.
But you believe Sam has a chance, always had a chance to be good.
I believed in Sam, and when it ended for him, it was very melancholy because I thought it was mostly on the Jets. Mm-hmm. And that's why it frustrated me so much last year, because I finally gave up on them. As you were telling me, oh, Minnesota, it'll work out. And it worked out. I don't think it's ever going to work out for Zach Wilson.
Well, I don't know if he's going to get a shot, because in Denver, he's not even the backup.
Well, in Miami now, but Denver, you're right.
A year ago, he wasn't the backup. So he wasn't even practicing,
right?
Basically. And now in Miami, I guess he has a better shot to play because of Tua's injury history. But if Tua's healthy, there's no way that Zach Wilson's playing.
But I would argue to you that even if he doesn't get a chance to play, that's going to prove me right. Because Geno Smith backed up for years and finally got a shot. Because Pete Carroll saw something in him. Because Pete Carroll said, you know what? I think this guy could play. He turned out to be right.
Right.
So I think Geno Smith and Sam Darnold are examples of guys that, yeah, if the Jets gave a better infrastructure and were set up better, they could have been successful. I don't believe that at all for Zach Wilson. I think he stunk. And it is frustrating. Like our last caller brings up, what were we thinking at the time? I don't know what we were thinking at the time. I look back on it and I think I was bullied. Basically, it was, whoa, are you an idiot? Of course Zach Wilson's got a lot of talent. Did you see that throw he made in his pro day? And it's like, okay, I guess.
Well, he definitely has talent, but being talented doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the league.
Bingo.
That's the reality.
Jamarcus Russell had a lot of talent, too.
There's tons of them. Yeah. So does Anthony Richardson right now with the Indianapolis Colts.
I thought Jamarcus Russell was can't miss. I'll own my mistakes.
Well, he might have had the same issue. I don't know how much he played in college.
Right.
I think it's a big indicator. We talked about it yesterday. The more you play, or at least a caller called and told us this, the more you play in college, the more likely you are to have success in the NFL, just because you've seen more.
Now, one thing that's happened a lot here at WFAN over the years is that callers call in with inside information, and we like to keep track of that. I don't like to just assume all callers are making things up. Sometimes they're right. Remember that guy who called up back in November and said, hey, I got inside information that Juan Soto hates Aaron Boone and he's going to leave the New York Yankees? Well, guess what?
That's not why he left the New York Yankees.
Well, let's just go with it. So Jim in Hartford, Connecticut claims he has inside information. Jim, what do you got, pal?
What's up, Jim?
Don't be surprised at all tonight.
Here we go.
If Mr. Dart comes up in the first round, the Giants straight up, they jump Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and the Giants draft their quote-unquote Dables type of quarterback where he can get in his face and yell at them. And second, the question, who is the coach, the head coach of the New York Giants that went to Dave Gettleman and lobbied for Patrick Mahomes? Have a good day, guys.
Ben McAdoo. But here's the thing about Ben McAdoo.
Do we believe that?
I don't believe him. You know what I believe?
Why don't you believe
it? It also wasn't Dave Gettleman.
Well, oh, it was before Dave Gettleman?
Yeah.
Is that Jerry Reese?
Because Gettleman hired Shermer and hired Judge.
You're right. So it was, It was McAdoo to Jerry Reese. If one gets fired and you lose your job, everyone could play this game at home right here at Dream Bar or in your car. You just got fired from your job. You want to make yourself look good. So you'll say, you know what I would have done? And you say something that would have been unbelievably brilliant. That's what you do.
Right.
If I got fired from WFAN, I'd say, boy, you know what I would have done? And I can't even think of a brilliant idea. But I would have done this, right, to make yourself look good. So when it comes to that story about Ben McAdoo, I'm very skeptical.
I think everybody, after the fact, loved Pat Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Well, sure.
I think everybody, after the fact, loved Josh Allen. But in real time, not everybody did. I didn't love Josh Allen because I thought he was a turnover machine.
Do you know what I did? I don't know. I've never told this story. It's a true story. Believe it or not.
About Josh Allen.
No, it's about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. So
I haven't heard of Patrick Mahomes until he was drafted.
Really? Yeah. I watched him when Jet was being born in the hospital. I had nothing to do all night waiting for my wife to give birth. She was falling asleep because...
And you just happened to be watching Big 12 football?
I needed to watch something. So I put on Big 12 football. You can look up the date. September 10th, 2016. This guy, Patrick Mahomes, threw for like 9,000 yards. And all I could say, I kept texting my dad. I was like, bro, you're not going to believe it. He's like, what?
You text your dad, bro?
Yeah. I was working with Joe at the time. I said, you're not going to believe it.
Wait, Joe's like, your dad?
No.
That would be the biggest WFAN plot twist of all time.
After all these years. Yeah. I said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. Remember Pat Mahomes, the reliever? He's like, yeah, we love Pat. His son is dominating college football. So that night, true story, picked up the phone. Mm-hmm. I dialed collect, and I said, put me in touch with Woody Johnson. And Woody Johnson picked up the phone.
No, he didn't.
This was right before he left to work in the Trump administration. Remember, this is September of 2016. And I spoke to Woody and I said, Woody, there's this kid named Patrick Mahomes. He's the son of a Met pitcher. I don't care where you're drafting next year. You must draft him. And Woody hung up on me. So I tried to save the Jets.
Now, you could have.
Are you noticing that this whole story is completely fabricated?
100%. I'm trying to figure out where Woody Johnson was in 2016.
Same with Ben McAdoo. It's the same thing. I could come out and say, yeah, I called up Woody. I was like begging him, please draft right. Pat Mahomes. Ben McAdoo probably does the same thing after he got fired. Like, yeah, you know, I was telling him, you got to draft Pat Mahomes.
Didn't Shermer just do this with Josh Allen, too?
Did he do that, too? Oh, yeah, you're right. He did.
Yeah. You know, come
you're on. Right. It's a very common thing to do.
Right. It is.
And it's easy to do.
By the way, Tiki is now down a rabbit hole looking for what Woody Johnson... You know what Woody Johnson was doing in September of 2016?
He was... Screwing up a football team.
Well, he was also supporting Jeb Bush for the Republican presidential nomination.
He supported everybody
then
before
he... eventually went to Trump.
Yeah, right. I think he supported like five different Republicans. And he's like, all right, I'll support you. Please give me a job.
And then that year also, like this year, the Jets got an F grade by the NFLPA.
Wow.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. We'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, one of the great draft experts here at WFAN posed a very concerning question about Abdul Carter. We'll let you know what that concern is. We'll let Tiki analyze it, and we'll talk to you. Plus, Bad Tiki will join the program in about 45 minutes as we get you set for the draft live from the Dream Bar here at American Dream. We're with you until 6:30 tonight.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.